Om Shanti. Good evening. All of us know that health is also an important factor of our life. So today we have invited respected Dr. Nikhil Patel ji to throw some light on health. So first of all, we welcome him. Give him a big hand. He is bachelor as he is following Baba's knowledge since his childhood. And since last 22 years, he has been serving in Global Hospital as a MD psychiatrist. And today he is sharing his knowledge about holistic health of Brahmins, a holistic health for Brahmins. So let us listen to Dr. Nikhil Patelji.
Om Shanti. And very cold evening. It's a good evening, but it's a cold evening too. And before we talk about health, we should take care of our chariot and protect our chariot from cold. I'm sure everybody is taking care of his or her chariot from cold. Right? Is translation all right? Is it okay, translation? Since Shri Baba has descended onto this earth, the definition of health has been evolving and changing over some decades. English?
Spanish.
99.5. Frequency. 99.5. Spanish. So, as I was saying that since Shri Baba has descended onto this earth without our invitation to fulfill his duties, the World Health Organization has been defining and redefining the definition of health. And many of you may not be knowing that the health was just ascribed or described by just physical health almost 80 years ago or 70 years ago. And in the medical colleges, it was only physical health which was taught, different aspects of physical health, medical health. Since 50s and 60s, people realized that we also have mental health. Because what is health? Health is to heal, to be all right, to be whole, to be complete, to enjoy complete well-being. This is the actual definition of health. And in order to enjoy complete health, complete happiness or complete well-being, they revise and they included mental health into physical health. So in 60s and 70s, it was physical health and mental health which was considered to be part and parcel of health. But after 60s and 70s, they realized that it was the society, it was the family, which constructs and shapes our physical and mental health. So they again revised the diagnosis, definition of health, and they included social health. So all of us have physical health, mental health, social health. Despite including social health, mental health into the definition of complete health, somehow the doctors realized that there was something still lacking in our complete well-being. So there were a lot of deliberations and discussions in the assemblies of World Health Organization. And way back in 1997-98, in some assemblies, they described that they gave importance to spiritual aspects of health. They realized that unless and until you look after the spiritual needs of an individual as a doctor, you probably cannot give justice to health. So spiritual aspects of health were also considered since 1997 by World Health Organization, none other than World Health Organization. So now the actual definition of health, holistic health or complete health, includes not only physical health, but it also includes mental health, psychological health, social health, and spiritual health. Spirituality and spiritual health was very well debated in the assemblies, the meetings of World Health Organization in 1997-98. It's still officially not included, but spiritual aspects of health of an individual is part and parcel of the definition, the latest definition of health. And so today we are going to discuss about complete health, holistic health, bearing spiritual health. Because Baba's children are already spiritually healthy. They are masters of Jnana and Yoga. They are the masters of doing a lot of service. I am not here to discuss about spirituality, spiritual health. You already into the lap of Baba and Baba's family, Madhuban. Listen to Murlis and classes of Dadis and Dadas every day. So you are all spiritually healthy. So I am not going to talk about anything about spiritual health. But I am definitely going to talk about mental health, which is my subject in this birth. Being a professional of mental health, a psychiatrist, I'll talk about mental health, psychological health. I will also talk about social health, which is very, very important for double foreigners. Not for the Indians, but double foreigners. Science, as they say, advance when there's a lot of materialistic and physical progress. There is a cost that the human being pays. Cost in the form of separation of families, disintegration of families, the Lokic families, having a lot of distances between the relatives, distances between even the neighbors. I know in the Western countries, you don't know who your neighbor is. By the way, I'm the only Madhuban Nivasi who also is a permanent resident of the United States of America. Most of my relatives stay in the United States. They are the U.S. citizens. And by virtue of them being U.S. citizens, I happen to visit United States and got green card, the permanent residency of the United States. So I know the Western culture. Social health, familial health has been taking a toll with the help of materialistic progress. Yes, there are two spheres of this earth, planet earth, the east and the west. There's a lot of buzz and talk about the eastern values and the western values. They say the eastern countries like India have better social and spiritual health, whereas the western countries have not so good social and spiritual health as compared to their physical and mental health. But the developing countries, the eastern countries like India, has still to achieve better physical health and mental health as compared to the western counterpart. You may find difference between the east and the west in this sense that the physical and mental health of the western people, the developed countries, is definitely better than the eastern countries. Whereas the social and spiritual health of the eastern countries, including India, is much better than the western countries. Am I right? When I say this, there are so many different parameters of social health, familial health. I'm not going into the depth or details of social health, you already know the cultural values are changing over the years. And so, the familial values, the societal values of the Western countries in particular are changing very rapidly. Whereas in India or in Eastern countries, still the unit of family is intact. The society is still, you know, very cohesive. Marriage is still being considered to be a basis of each family, society. Whereas in Western countries now, marriage probably has become an old fashion. And so, the familial values are changing very rapidly. We Baba's children, when we come and meet Baba's family, we become not just socially, not just spiritually healthy, but we become more, you know, healthy and rich in terms of social and familial health. Right? Once we are a part and parcel of Baba's family, then we are much intimate and much close, and we enjoy much better familial and social health as compared to those who are not the Baba's children, outside world. Each center is like a small family, right? And you share and care within the family, wherever you are, in whatever country you are. And when you come to Madhuban, you are in a big family. It's a huge family, right? Of unlimited number of children from all the countries of the world. So, in other words, when we become Baba's children, we just not only become spiritually healthy, I'm talking about double foreigners especially, but we also become socially healthy, more rich, intimate relationships, more close relationships, true loving, selfless relationships within the family. And that also gives us a lot of succor and warmth, right? For doctors, this is a distraction, like Maya, you know. No, it's all right. Yes. My cell phone was ringing, so I was distracted by the cell phone. So we, Baba's children, become more rich in terms of warmth, intimacy within Baba's family. And then it gives support to each other, right? You all are experienced, very well experienced of it. Just for 1 month, think or imagine that you are away from Baba's family. You are not going to attend to any center. And how would be your life without Baba's family, Baba's center? Did you ever think about that? Can you remain away for 30 days together, all together? Away from Baba's family, Baba's center? No, you cannot. Can you? Just think about a second. Think for a second. You cannot. So that's the strength of our togetherness. So we all have become very, very socially healthy. Or we can say we have very good familial tie-ups now, very strong bondages within the Brahmin family. And we support each other, we care for each other, we share our thoughts and share our pains and happiness with the family. So we are definitely better than what we were in terms of social health. Now coming to the other aspect of health, mental health. I would just like to ask you right now, how many of you think that you are completely mentally healthy without stress? Raise your hands. You are completely mentally healthy without stress. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Completely. 100% free from stress and maya. Now, the medical term for maya is stress, right? And spiritual term for stress is maya. So, it's always good to ask oneself, yes, are we completely mentally healthy or not? All the time. Yeah. All the time. You know, I appreciate some of the qualities of double foreigners, because I have been to US every year and I see how double foreigners do their service there. Right from early morning, Amritvela, until late night, you are always on a run. There is no time there. And how much relaxed you are sitting in Baba's lap here in Madhuban. Just a contrast. What a contrast. Right? It's a very stressful, very fast life there. But that's another aspect of your service. As Baba says, you are on a mission, right? Why are you born in a particular country, in a particular city, in this birth? Because you are on a mission. How come you become master world benefactors unless you stay there in developed countries and do your service? You can't stay here permanently, can you? Yes, a time will come when this will be a shelter. But it might take some time, right? But before that, we have to give message. As Baba says, we have to give message to everyone out there in the world that yes, he has come. He has come and he has come for a return journey. He wants us all go back home, because we considered this our homes, you know, which is not our home, right? The Laukik homes. And we haven't yet finished giving messages to all the souls of the world there, out there, the outside world. And so until and unless that mission is complete, you cannot come to your permanent home, your permanent residence of Madhuban, can you? But yes, while giving message to everyone, doing a lot of service out there, we sometimes become too fast, too engrossed into our activities. I have seen in the Western countries, you know, when they are busy into their work, they become workaholic. They call workaholic. And it's only one consciousness there. Running consciousness. You are always on a run. No soul consciousness there. I'm just looking at you. Just be witness of your own selves when you are in your own countries doing service, Laukik or Alaukik or whatever service. You are always on a run. Right? And how relaxed and how easy you are in Baba's Madhuban, right? Permanent residence. Is this your residence, brother? Madhuban? Is this your residence, permanent residence? It is, right? And it will become your permanent residence. But on that process, journey, before the world destruction takes place, we have to fulfill our obligations in doing service. And while doing service, we incur a little bit of stress here and there. While we do some efforts, we incur a little bit of maya here and there. And maya is very, very clever, you know. It comes in different forms, different means. And it causes stress. You know how many different psychiatric illnesses are there? Diagnosable psychiatric illnesses. Since I am a neuropsychiatrist, you know, I come across lot many patients who have different illnesses. There are about 500, 600 different kinds of neuropsychiatric illnesses, even more. Just sleep-related illnesses are about 50. Just sleep-related illnesses. In insomnia disorders and hypersomnia disorders. And you may find some Brahmins having some hypersomnia during class and Amrit Vela. Yes? Why does it happen? Have you ever asked yourself? Why do some Brahmins doze off and pay namaz as they pay namaz in the mosque? You know, then they pay namaz, they doze off very in a royal manner, in a gentle. I hope and I'm sure nobody is dozing off right now. Can I have a look at everyone's face here? Yes, yes, yes. Nobody is sleeping. Nobody is dozing off. Everybody is alert, as Baba said, the last Murli. Yes, is everybody alert? Yes. Good. But if supposing you are dozing off, what does it show? To doze off during class, during daytime or Amrit Vela, means you haven't given adequate and appropriate rest to your chariot in the bed the previous night. The average requirement of sleep is around 8 hours of an individual. That's what science says, medical science says. Baba also says in the Mule. And if you don't finish the quota of 8 hours of sleep in bed, then you will try to compensate the loss of that quota while dozing off in the sofa, on the chair, in the class, while listening to the Murli, or while doing Amrit Vela. Sleep, why I'm saying this? Because sleep is very important. Sleep gives enough rest to the body and the soul. And so you must have 8 hours of sleep a day, on an average. Before you ask questions, I'll give you answers. Barring the senior citizens and the children, children require more than 8 hours of sleep a day, and the senior citizens require less than 8 hours of sleep a day, like Brahma Baba. Brahma Baba used to have 4 or 5 hours of sleep, you know. He was all right. He was doing, enjoying everything. As the age advances, the requirement of sleep reduces. But on an average, for an adult, until the age of 65, the average requirement of sleep is 8 hours. Plus or minus half an hour or 1 hour. It also depends upon the weather. It also depends upon the amount of physical exertion that you do on a given day. If you do a lot of physical exercise or physical exertion or karma yoga on a particular day and it is a cold weather like this, then you might require half an hour or 1 hour extra sleep in the bed. And if you don't do that, then you will doze off the next day morning in the class or during Amrit Vela. Is that all right? You have any other question? Yes. Yeah, this is again a very good question, important practical question. You don't get a nap in the afternoon when you are in your countries. While you are doing your job there, you cannot sleep in the afternoon, can you? Yes. And I'm aware of it. So at a stretch, when you sleep at night time, in your countries, then you have to make sure that you go to bed early in order to wake up early in the during Amrit Vela and finish the quota of 8 hours of sleep, which is many times not possible. Can you finish your supper or dinner by 8 o'clock, 7:30 in the centers or at homes? You cannot. So, what are the ways out? You can find your own means how to finish the quota of 7 to 8 hours of sleep. I am not going to give you any particular tip or consultation or any specific advice right now. You can find the ways and means how to finish the required quota of sleep. Why I am saying this? Because there are many illnesses, physical, mental, psychiatric, which are related to deficiency of sleep. There are many, many illnesses, physical illnesses, like high blood pressure, heart disease, high blood sugar, diabetes, many things, which are caused and aggravated by inadequate sleep, inappropriate lifestyle, inappropriate food habits. What we psychiatrists recommend these days, you know, that on a particular day, on a given day, you should have a balance between three things. It's a kind of a triad, a triangle. Diet, rest, and exercise. Diet, rest, and exercise. These three things have to be in balance on a given day. Not too much, not too less. Okay? Not too much of eating, overeating, or fasting. Not too much of sleeping. Or insomnia, deprivation of sleep. And not too much of physical exertion. Or just resting. So, physical exertion, rest and diet, they all should be in moderation on a given day. Yes, sometimes you have some programs on the weekends or Shivratri, and you have to do some extra physical exertion, physical or mental work. Then make sure that you have little extra rest the next day. Sometimes it's also very refreshing to have extra rest or sleep during weekends. When you are busy continuously for 5 working days in a week, when the weekend comes, make sure that you give enough rest to your chariot. You can sleep 2 hours extra on Saturdays and Sundays. But I know there are some programs in the center, the family meetings and eating, and they call it meeting, eating and cheating. Cheating Maya. So, make sure that during weekends, Saturdays and Sundays, you have little extra sleep in order to compensate the loss of sleep that you had during your working days. It might happen that from Monday to Friday, you may sleep just 5 hours a night, you know, or 6 hours, maybe maximum. So there is a deficit of 1 or 2 hours, 2 hours every day. And how will you make that loss? How will you compensate that loss of your sleep? These are few, you know, yuktis, tips how to keep yourself mentally healthy by having adequate, good amount of sleep. But yes, if you want to get rid of stress and stress-related illnesses, then there are different some other yuktis also. Now, you know, I am always fond of having questions and answers. Like Daddy Janki. Daddy Janki is fond of inviting questions. And then she starts giving a class. Because it gives you, you know, the answers to your queries that you might have. So now I invite questions. One by one. Yes, brother. Okay, so this brother is asking a question related to schizophrenia. Schizophrenias are of 5-6 different types. And bearing one or two different schizophrenias, we call them chronic resistant schizophrenia. All other schizophrenias are completely curable with the help of new drugs. It requires efforts. It requires appropriate consultation with a psychiatrist and appropriate prescription of drugs. Drugs are necessary. Medicines are necessary. With the good family support and proper medication, all schizophrenias are completely curable. Yes? Schizophrenia is a very severe psychotic illness in which the person goes completely crazy. He doesn't behave normally with anybody, he doesn't do any job, and he doesn't even take care of himself or herself. And has lost touch with reality. He has some, you know, funny, crazy things like delusions and hallucinations. We call them delusions and hallucinations, you know. In short, he is not in touch with reality. And he is unable to take care of himself or herself. And it lasts for a few months. a few weeks. This is schizophrenia. It usually happens during adolescent or young age. It's a very debilitating illness. But fortunately, most of the schizophrenia are curable these days. Yes, any other question? Yes, sister. One by one, brother, sister. Can we have a balance between the Shaktis and the Pandavas? Okay. Sorry? ADHD you are talking about? ADHD? Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder? Yes, this is also a very good question. This is an over-diagnosed entity in the Western countries. It's an over-diagnosed illness by the psychiatrists. Many of the ADHD hyperactive children or teenagers have some other underlying medical causes. They might have some neurological brain disorder also. They might have some damage in the brain also, which the EEG and scanning, brain scanning picks up. Sometimes the parents of the child, ADHD child, require treatment, not the child. Have you seen some parents who are too protective or too neglecting, you know? Overprotected children or rejected, neglected children also have more ADHD. They become more hyperactive. So sometimes parents require to change themselves rather than children, hyperactive children. One of the common causes of hyperactivity, ADHD, is caffeine intoxication. These days people eat a lot of caffeine in different forms. Pepsi, Coca-Cola, chocolates, Cadburys and whatnot, you know. Coffee, cocoa powder, and then you have different ice creams which contain a lot of caffeine. When you take more caffeine in your diet in different forms, including tea and coffee, which contain caffeine, then there is an intoxication of caffeine, and which causes hyperactivity in children and young people. So ADHD is either wrongly diagnosed or over-diagnosed in the Western countries. Sometimes the cause is different. Many of the epilepsies, different kinds of psychomotor epilepsies and minor epilepsies can also make a person hyperactive. And unless and until it is diagnosed properly, it cannot be treated properly. Right? Yes. Any other question? Yes, brother. Regression therapy. Okay. This brother. Yeah. Yes. I will give you answer to that. That includes regression therapy. It is not a medical treatment. It is a non-medical, non-pharmacological treatment. Past life regression therapy, they call it PLR therapy. There are some psychologists and psychiatrists who practice these. Not some, few. You may find 4, 5, or 10 psychiatrists in different countries who practice regression therapy, past life regression therapy. It is like hypnotic regression. It is used for therapeutic purpose, not for entertainment. There are few psychiatric illnesses, which can be cured with past life regression therapy. Past life regression therapy, by the way, is one of those therapies in which, apart from psychotherapy, behavior therapy, counseling, lifestyle changes, meditation, yoga therapy, relaxation therapy, these are all different non-medical, non-pharmacological therapies. You have to have a balance between using the medicines on one hand and these other therapies, non-pharmacological therapies on the other hand. And it depends upon from patient to patient. But past life regression therapy is useful in only few patients. Like very severe phobias. You know, there are different kinds of phobias people have. We call them social phobias or specific phobias. Some people have phobias of height, some people have phobias of water, some people have phobias of darkness, some people have phobias of cockroach. There are so many Shaktis who are having phobias of cockroaches and ants when they come out, pop up in the kitchen. So there are different kinds of phobias. And if they are not, if they are not cured by conventional psychotherapy, behavior therapy, and sometimes medicines, if it doesn't respond to any treatment, then you can think of regression therapy, past life regression therapy. Similarly, few patients of addiction, severe addiction, who cannot be cured with conventional routine psychiatric treatment, can be helped with past life regression therapy. So there are only few indications for past life regression therapy, and past life regression therapy has the same results as compared to different kinds of psychotherapies that we use. It is not a kind of a panacea, it's not a kind of a, you know, magic wand. It's one of those non-pharmacological therapies in which apart from regression therapy, there are different kinds of psychotherapies, behavior therapies, counseling, relaxation therapy, meditation. In Indian context, well, where I am practicing in Baba's hospital, Global Hospital, you know, meditation has been very useful for those who are already religious, those who already have spiritual bent of mind. But in the Western countries, those who are atheists, or those who are hardcore rationalists or intellectuals, probably meditation and yoga doesn't work, where psychotherapy works more. So it depends from patient to patient which kind of therapy you use. But yes, sometimes we have to use medicines, antidepressant medicine. When someone is severely depressed, has insomnia, has suicidal tendency, no amount of psychotherapy, no amount of counseling or Baba's knowledge helps. And you have to use medicines, antidepressant medicines, you know. You have to balance out, you know. It depends upon diagnosis. It depends upon the type of illness, the severity of illness, where we use medicines, where we use psychotherapy. Okay? Yes, any other questions, sister? Yes, now this is a very, very important question for all of you to know. Sister is asking, sometimes what happens? There are some new students who come to the center to get cured from schizophrenia or severe psychotic illness, psychiatric illness, with a hope that they will be cured with meditation only, and there is no need of any medicines in that case. That's what they believe. That's what they are told. Sometimes what happens, if a person has a severe psychiatric illness, is already taking psychiatric treatment from a psychiatrist, and you give him or her a course, 7 days course, and sometimes they develop a false hope that they will be cured from their illness with the help of just meditation and Baba's knowledge, it many times doesn't happen. And in that case, the best advice that you can give to such students is that continue the treatment from your psychiatrist, learn spirituality, learn Baba's knowledge, and try to imbibe or try to practice Raja Yoga meditation until and unless you feel comfortable. You should not give them an advice to stop the medicines if they are already taking medicines. Let that decision be left on to his or her family physician or a family psychiatrist. Yes. Any other question? Yes, sister. Anxiety. Can it be cured? Sister is asking. Have you ever experienced anxiety? Anxiety? Momentary anxiety is normal, isn't it? You have to catch a flight from Ahmedabad And if you are a little late, you will be a little anxious, right? How will I be able to catch a flight? That's a momentary phase of anxiety, right? That's normal, right? But if anxiety persists for a long time and it becomes an illness, there are different anxiety disorders, you know, 5-6 different kinds of anxiety disorders. Have you heard about them? One of them is, of course, this kind of different kinds of phobias. They are also anxiety disorders. Then there are some people who have anxiety disorder. They have continuous long-term symptoms of anxiety. They become anxious for nothing. Have you seen some Brahmins who are anxious for nothing? That's an anxiety disorder. That's an illness. They are not at fault, you see. It's the neurotransmitters in the brain levels, you know, the levels of neurotransmitters which are not in normal amount, which causes anxiety. To label someone having any anxiety disorder, it should be more than 2 or 3 weeks continuously. Then you can say, yes, this is an illness of anxiety or anxiety disorder. And then you can think of consulting a psychiatrist or think of consulting your family doctor in order to get rid of that anxiety. There are few medical illnesses which can cause anxiety, like hypoglycemia. If you are running low sugar in your blood, if you are trying to have crash dieting, there are some Shaktis who want to be very light, double light, and want to crash diet, then they tend to fast for a long time. If someone doesn't take food for more than 6 hours, then the sugar level goes down below the normal level, and that causes anxiety. It causes palpitation, it causes sweating in the hands, it causes tremors, it causes restlessness, it causes indecisiveness, it causes excessive and unrealistic worry about nothing. These are all symptoms of anxiety I'm describing. There are a few other illnesses which can cause anxiety, like low hemoglobin, anemia, B-complex deficiency. Vitamin B-complex deficiency is one of the commonest causes of anxiety. If you don't take a lot of salads and fruits and yogurt and buttermilk in your food, then you might deprive yourself from B-complex. Different vitamin B-complex, B1, B2, B3, 6, 5, have you heard of them? They all can cause anxiety. So make sure your diet is a normal, healthy, complete diet in the form of a lot of veggies and fruits and milk and yogurt. Do you know how many of you yogurt and curd manufactures product produces vitamin B complex in the intestines? Yogurt and buttermilk naturally produces vitamin B complex in the intestinal wall. Probiotic. Yes, it's a probiotic. So, anxiety, yes, it is all pervasive, omnipresent, like Maya. But it takes a form of an illness only when it is persistent for more than 2 or 3 weeks continuously. Okay? Then you need to consult your family doctor or your family psychiatrist. Yes, brother. Very important. Very important question. How can you make out whether it is the illness which is causing Maya or it is the old sanskara which is causing Maya or stress? How do you distinguish it? How do you do that? How do you do that? Tell me. No, I'm just asking him. Yeah, just chatting, okay? Yeah, I'm not giving you a formal class like daddy. We are just chatting. Yes. You know, I tell you, There are some illnesses which run in the families, Lokic families. They are inherited from the parents. And if you have already known the history from the family, that schizophrenia is running in the family, depression is running in the family, alcohol addiction is running in the family, diabetes is running in the family, then you are pretty sure that it is the illness which is causing a problem and not sanskar. Okay? Am I clear? If you already know that some of your family members have history of depression, alcohol addiction, things like that, and then you become depressed without a diagnosable maya or any sanskar, then yes, it is an illness. It might be early symptoms of depression. It might be early symptoms of any other psychiatric illness. Who knows? Right? If you try meditation, if you try Murli, if you try all classes, and if it doesn't disappear, depression, then it is an illness. Okay? Then you need to consult your family doctor and get it diagnosed properly. Or you need to consult your family physician to get some medical illnesses diagnosed. Hypothyroidism, thyroid problem, is one of the common causes of depression, especially in sisters. Hypothyroidism, you know. There's a thyroid gland here, and the hormone which the thyroid gland secretes is known as thyroxine. So some thyroxine level goes down, which is known as hypothyroidism. It causes depression. It causes gain of weight. It causes a lot of puffiness and swelling. It causes lethargy, fatigue. So in order to distinguish between a particular sanskar or a particular disease, you have to consult respective, you know, department. If you feel that it is because of an old sanskar, yes, consult your senior DD at the center. She might diagnose, yes, whether it is your sanskar which is doing some tricks or whether it is an illness. And if you find that, yes, the DD gives you answer that this is not a sanskar, this is an illness, she cannot help you out, then yes, then you need to take help from your family doctor. As Baba said in last Murli, wherever you have faith, wherever you trust, find help, seek help and take help, right? If your physical health is gone, your DD at the center cannot help you. You have to go to your family doctor, right? If you have a physical sickness, illness, the DD at the center cannot help you. You have to find, it's also an art to find help, seek help from an appropriate person at an appropriate time. If you have a family problem, probably one of your guardians in the family, grandfather or grandmother, can help you out. In that case, your family doctor cannot do anything, can he? He cannot. Neither DD at the center can help you to sort out your family problem. Can he? Can she? No. So you have to find an appropriate resource, person, to get rid of a particular problem. Right? Yes, sister? Computers is a very, very, very important question. Any gadget, any high-tech gadget can be very addictive, including computers and cell phones and mobiles and laptops and iPads and iPods and whatnot. What kind of, I don't know, tablets and so many gadgets. And even the older people, younger people get addicted to it. So children easily can get hooked onto it. Right? Just in a lighter vein, I happened to visit a psychiatrist conference in Ahmedabad 2 months back, and we had a very good research paper presented there on computers. Whether those who sit on computers for more than 3, 4, 8 hours a day, and they become irritable, especially children, youngsters, and they become irritable, very fidgety, restless, and they have sleepless nights. Is that an illness? You know, there was a lot of healthy debate going on in that particular seminar. And then the few psychiatrists suggested that these children probably are the potential computer engineers for the future, you know. Those who have a tendency and aptitude to play with computers and high-tech gadgets might be the computer engineers or IT professionals of the future. But there is a limit to it, you know. The consensus among the psychiatrists about having addiction to computers or mobile or cell phone is, if any particular addiction, any such addictive behavior to a particular gadget like computer or a cell phone causes marked distress in your day-to-day functioning, your job, your studies, your relationships within the family or with your friends, yes, it is abnormal. It is addiction. As far as the child enjoys playing with computers, but he is also good at studies in the school, he is also good in behavior with the parents and with the friends, it is not addiction. It is a normal behavior. It can be more than 8 hours on weekends. It cannot be every day. If it is every day 7 to 8 hours, then it is abnormal. Unless the child is studying computer engineering. Okay? Yes, sister. Yes, yes. Yes. Right now I'm speaking to you, right? And I expect you to talk to me, not anybody else. But if you look around and start talking with the sofa or with the wall there, it is not normal. It is abnormal. Right? Talking to self or kind of having a dialogue with your own self happens round the clock. Right? Our mind continuously produces thoughts. And then we analyze, right? Our intellect analyzes those thoughts. So there is a continuous incognito talk which takes place around the clock. But that's without sound. That's without speech. Nobody can hear what I'm talking to myself right now. Right? But if you start talking with things or animals or plants, when you are expected to talk to the person opposite to you, it is not normal. It is abnormal. It is a symptom of few psychiatric illnesses. If it is for a long time, for days together, then he or she should consult a psychiatrist. Okay? Yes. Yes, brother. The brother is asking me about how to get rid of depression, in other words. Depression, you know, depression is something like a common cold. It's like the common cold of psychiatry. About 20 to 30% of people are depressed sometime or the other. But it's an illness, mind well. It's a curable illness, treatable illness. But I'll give you some tips for Brahmins not to be depressed. Some of my lectures are already there online on the computers, and you can listen to them, you know. Since I'm busy around the clock with Global Hospital, I'm busy with, you know, getting rid of patients. Depression, around the clock. I see about 15 to 20 patients a day. And I don't have time to, you know, give lectures, especially to the Brahmins, how to get rid of depression. But yes, one of the best methods that you can think of in order to prevent having depression, prevention, mind well, I'm not talking about the treatment about depression. Somebody who is already having an illness of depression, then obviously he or she should consult a psychiatrist or the family doctor. I'm giving you some tips, not how to prevent becoming depressed, right? The future. The first and foremost for Brahmins is to have balance between the laukic and the alaukic lifestyle. Very important. Rather most important. You must pay full attention to your laukic job, at the same time your spiritual life. If you overlook any of these, then you are likely to be depressed. Number one. Number two, in order to prevent you from experiencing depression, always pay full attention to any job or any seva or service that you perform. Do it with utmost honesty and sincerity. Whatever task you do, whether it's a laukic job or a service at the center or giving gyan to anybody, do it with utmost honesty and sincerity. Number three, always try to maintain good relationships with the family members, within the center, and within your laukic family. Yes, there are few persons who are hard to interact with, right? There are few abnormal personalities around within the family who are a little difficult to handle. But if you maintain good relationships, if you, from your side, give happiness to everyone within the family, again, you are likely to be less depressed. Difficult to say. Easy to say, but difficult to practice, right? There might be few family members within the family who will always be negative towards you. And that can be a cause for depression. What do you do in such cases? You try your best to help that family member. You try your best to give happiness and blessings to that person. But if that person constantly gives you sorrow, despite your best efforts, then try to keep distance. Okay? Otherwise, rather than you influence him, he would start influencing you. Right? This is another tip, yukti, to prevent depression. Number four, always maintain healthy lifestyle. And what I mean by this, as I said before, always try to maintain a balance between your diet, rest, sleep, and exercise on a given day, as far as possible. Right? If you maintain good balance between these three things, it's a kind of a triad, then you are less likely to be depressed. All right? Number six, if you eat a lot of veggies, vegetables, fruits, milk, yogurt, not necessarily tolis, sometimes tolis are very high cholesterol, high calorie, except you have good dry fruits there, you know, which gives you a lot of vitamin B complex as well. If you have good healthy diet, small frequent meals, you know, one or two large meals in a day is very unhealthy. Three or four small frequent meals in a day is very healthy. It also prevents depression. Make sure that you drink a lot of water, especially during summers. If you drink less water, if you dehydrate yourself, you know, dehydration is again one of the commonest causes of depression during summers. I think this is 6th, 7th. If you have regular Murli class and yoga, either morning or evening, doesn't matter. When you are at work in your Laukik place, in your cities, it's not possible for you to go to the center in the morning, right? It's possible for you to go to the center in the evening, anytime, anywhere. But if you are in touch with the center, if you are doing yoga and listening to Murlis every day, there are less chances that you will be depressed. Despite following all these things, if you happen to be depressed, then probably you need to consult your family doctor or your family psychiatrist. Right? So how much time do we have? I am not told by Shiluben or Shiluben's that sister Indira, how long is the class? Until 6:30? Yes, so we have finished 6:30. So what do you want now? Meditation? Yes? Or few more questions? Any question? One or two I can take, then we can have a meditation. Yes, sister. Sister is asking a question, if you meditate regularly, you still need 8 hours of sleep? Ideally, yes. If you also have a lot of karma yoga, ideally, if you have a lot of job exertion that you have, and if you have not become a senior citizen, or Didi or Dada or Dadi, you need 8 hours of sleep. Yes. Thank you. Yes, very last question, brother. Yes. Okay, so a related question to sleep. Three Kumars went to Daddy Janki, asking Daddy about at what time they should go to bed. She told the first Kumar to go to bed at 8 o'clock in the evening, the second Kumar at 9 o'clock, and the third Kumar at 10 o'clock. It depends upon your daily routine. Daddy is right. Daddy might be right. Every Kumar must have a different daily routine. Each Kumar must be having a different routine. The one Kumar who is advised to go to bed at 8 o'clock might be having a lot of physical karma yoga during daytime. The other one must be having moderate exertion during daytime. And the third one might be having just, very light physical exertion. So it depends upon your amount of exertion that you have. The requirement of sleep, as I said, depends upon your physical exertion, your age, sometimes climate, cold weather requires more sleep, and of course, your amount of meditation. Yes. Now, this sister is asking another question, very, very scientific. Probably we don't have time for that, but I can take that question. When you are in intense meditation, very good meditation, in that stage of intoxication, the brain waves that you produce are almost like deep sleep, delta waves. They are called delta waves. And those moments of meditation are equal to deep sleep. And in that case, if you have that good yoga, then you require less amount of sleep in your bed. But until and unless you have that good, the stage of yoga, everyone has his or her own stage of yoga. And you are the best judge of your own stage, right? Until that happens, continuous intoxication with, victorious conqueror of Maya and nature, and they call it constant yogi. Yeah. Until that happens, yes, your requirement of sleep would be 8 hours. Thank you. Om Shanti. We have meditation. Yeah, 5 minutes. Thank you.